This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
It's coming up on 9 minutes after 6 on this Thursday morning from FM 106, and it's time now for part one of the Morning Ag Show. And for that, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you, Randy, and good morning. Starting off with your grain futures from the Chicago Board of Trade for yesterday. Corn for May finished down 3.5 cents to 373¾. July corn was down 3.5 cents as well to 383½. And September corn was down 2¾ cents to 390½. May soybeans were down 13¼ to 887½. July beans were down 13¼ as well to 901. And August beans were down 12¾ to 907½. Chicago wheat for May was up 0¼ cent to 469½. July wheat was up 0½ to 475. And September wheat was up 3/4 to 483¼. Soybean meal for May was down $6.60 to 304.40. July bean meal was down $6.50 to 308.30. And August bean meal was down $6.30 to $310 a ton. Finally, soybean oil for May was up 17 cents to 28.82. July bean oil was up 16 cents to 29.14. And August bean oil was up 16 cents as well to 29.27. Now we'll move on to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for yesterday's cash grain reports.
This is Wednesday's Port of Grain Price and Trend prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices are lower on Wednesday afternoon without any fresh fundamental news. Row crop prices are retreating. In northern West Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids steady to 4 cents lower at 326 to 354. Soybean bids are down 13 to 16 cents at $8 to $8.42. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 4 to 5 cents lower at 338 to 356. Soybean bids were down 13 to 16 cents at 816 to 849. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were 2 to 3 cents lower at 333 to 366. Soybean bids were down 12 to 13 cents at 813 to 848. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids are 11 to 13 cents lower at 850 to 865. Basis was steadied up to at 3800 to 2300 the May. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis offered at 282.40 to 294.40. Down $6.60 a ton with basis unchanged at 2200 to 10 under the May. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were 4 cents higher at 356 to 373 with basis steady at 1800 to 1 under the May. Illinois River March Loaning Elevated quoted to produce the corn bids down 5 to 9 cents at 356 to 362 with basis down 1 to 5 at 1800 to 12 under the May. Soybeans dropped 17 to 21 cents at 825 to 839, with basis down 4 to 8 at 6300 to 49 under the May. New crop wheat prices were up a penny at 445 to 470, with basis steady at 30 under to 5 under the July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids 2 to 5 cents lower at 378 to 381. These elevators dropped their soybean prices 13 to 17 cents, quotations at 851 to 859. So if we closed up 1 to 4 cents at $4.98 to $5, Milo ended today mostly a penny higher at $3.94 to $4.02. Contract bids producers for October and November delivery corn in the northern part of the state at $3.43 to $3.71, soybeans at $8.38 to $8.68. In the central part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at $3.53 to $3.69. Soybeans at 858 to 880. And in the southern part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 340 to 373. Soybeans at 853 to 884. And June, July wheat at 446 to 478. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Moving on to your livestock numbers from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, live cattle for April lost 65 cents to 126.25. June live cattle lost $1.12 to 119.60, and August live cattle were down 92 cents to 116.65. March feeders lost 62 cents to 142.12, April feeder cattle were down 32 cents to 145.90, and May feeders were down 27 cents to 149.52. April lean hogs were up $1.60 to 81.32. May lean hogs gained 2 pennies to 86.67, and June lean hogs were down 52 cents to 94.80. And now we'll move on to the U.S. and Illinois Departments of Agriculture in Springfield for Wednesday's Cash Livestock Reports.
Thank you. This is Jeff Evers with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture with Wednesday afternoon's Livestock Report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Afternoon Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded $1.87 higher in a range of $64 to $80 with the weighted average carcass price of $74.92. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, Sutter Sow prices were firmer with light to moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows weighing under 400 pounds traded at 30 to 33, 4 to 500 pounds at 31 to 36, 5 to 600 pounds at 34 to 39, over 600 pounds at 38 to 42. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, prices for barrows and guts at the country buying points were $2 to $4 higher with good demand for moderate offerings ranging from 43 to 52. Receipts for Illinois barrows and gelts totaled 19,858. In the direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis traded at $125 to $129 and on a dress basis traded at $205 to $207. Heifers on a live basis traded at $125 to $129 and on a dress basis traded at $205 to $206. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 320.55 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $81.63, which was 56 cents higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses are trading mixed. Choice carcasses are $228.99, which is 52 cents lower, with select carcasses at $220.53, which is $1.54 higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 120,000 compared to 120,000 for last week and 117,000 for 1 year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 477,000 compared to 479,000 for last week and 464,000 for 1 year ago. Today we also have the Greenville Livestock Auction results, total receipts of 650. Compared to last week, slaughter steers sold $1.75 higher, slaughter Holstein steers sold 50 cents higher, slaughter heifer sold a dollar higher. Trade was active with good demand. Slaughter steers choice 2 to 4 sold in a range of 100 to 133. Slaughter Holstein steers choice 2 to 3 sold in a range of 88 to 93. Slaughter heifers choice 2 to 4 sold in a range of 125 to 131. That concludes our livestock report. This is Jeff Evers with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And that's all for part one of the Morning Ag Show. Time now for part two of the Morning Ag Show, brought to you this morning by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, Auburn, and Jerseyville. By CHS, farmer-owned with global connections. By the Litchfield National Bank. And by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value. And once again, we joined WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you, Randy. Canada and Mexico this week are again pressing the Trump administration to remove steel and aluminum tariffs. Canadian Foreign Minister Chrystia Freeland met with U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer earlier this week and threatened to withhold ratification of the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement if the duties remain in place, according to Politico. Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue and others have previously said that if the tariffs remain in place following the implementation of the USMCA, the tariffs would offset any gains reached in the agreement. Specifically, Freeland of Canada is urging the administration to lift the tariffs without placing them with a quota, telling reporters Canadians feel the right thing is there should be no 232 tariffs or retaliatory measures between our two countries. A trade official from Mexico echoed the comments, saying what industry in North America needs is the elimination of this tariff. Tomorrow morning, the USDA will release its annual acreage survey. The agricultural economist at the University of Illinois, tasked with tracking acreage expectations, says he thinks there will be 91.8 million acres of corn planted in the U.S. this season. Todd Hubbs has soybean acreage pegged at 85.7 million acres.
I'm getting a little nervous about soybean acreage. We've seen the prices through the early part of this year being a little bit higher relative to corn than what we would expect based on the ending stocks we're seeing. And I could see some farmers throughout the Corn Belt, particularly if they had problems with field work and with fertilizer prices the way they are, deciding maybe to plant soybean acreage.
This would especially be true if planting in the Midwest were to be delayed by poor early season weather conditions. The USDA's prospective plantings report is due tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Central Time. Continuing with crop news, a report from Plantalytics says current conditions in the Corn Belt leave 55% of the nation's corn acreage at risk of flooding. Plantalytics is a business weather intelligence firm. The firm reports that major flooding throughout the United States leaves 55% of corn acres at risk, along with 60% of the nation's soybean acres to be planted this spring. Thousands of acres have already been inundated with floodwaters along the Missouri River, and some will not be used to produce a crop this season. The reports follow a forecast by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA, depicting at-risk areas this spring. The Missouri and Mississippi rivers, throughout nearly all of their length, are at risk of major or moderate flooding. NOAA has much of the eastern U.S. at risk for minor flooding, along with the South and Midwest. The reports from Plantalytics based its data on 2018 production of corn and soybeans. In national livestock news, regarding African swine fever, the biggest emphasis for the pork industry is on prevention. This disease has been devastating in China and has spread to Vietnam. National Pork Board CEO Bill Even says consumers should know one thing about this disease.
African swine fever does not affect people or pets, and pork is safe to eat. So this isn't an issue of concern for, you know, the public or the consuming public or people and their pets. This really is a concern directly with farmers, and they want to make sure that their pigs stay healthy. The problem with African swine fever is there's currently no vaccine for it, so there's not a whole lot we can do if your pigs get ill, and so it leaves the farmers in a helpless position.
There is a coordinated approach underway to address the issue of African swine fever.
The checkoff's been working with the Pork Producers Council, the American Association of Swine Veterinarians, and the Swine Health Information Center, as well as the USDA. And that, I would say that teamwork that's going on behind the scenes has really led to some important enhancements for prevention and U.S. border security related to people inadvertently dragging something into the U.S.
The USDA has ramped up its efforts on border protection, and the pork checkoff has been part of that process. It has been verified that African swine fever can be carried in feedstuffs.
Now, not only do you have to worry about, you know, a foreign visitor from a country accidentally tracking it in, we also have to be very careful about feed premixes, vitamin premixes, and so forth. Now, there are ways to mitigate this, ways to make sure that the feed stays clean, and there's some holding time recommendations that the industry's developed. So folks that are feeding hogs, you need to go to pork.org/FAD, which stands short for foreign animal disease. And on that website, we've got all the information, flow charts, decision trees, things that you can use as a producer to make sure that you understand what sort of conversations you need to have with your veterinarian, that you need to do with biosecurity, as well as things, conversations you need to have with your feed supplier to make sure that you don't inadvertently pick up something.
And for more information, producers can contact the Pork Checkoff Service Center. Go to pork.org or call 800-456-PORK. In state news, the state's Ag Invest program hits a little closer to home for Illinois Treasurer Michael Frericks. He grew up on a farm in northeast Champaign County.
Team went out and we talked with people. We talked to farmers. We talked to bankers. We worked the Farm Bureau and discovered that even though agriculture has changed a lot over the last 30 years, it has evolved. Our program hadn't really evolved with it. So we made some changes. And what we've seen since then is a dramatic uptick in the number and the amounts of loans we're involved with Ag Invest. Yeah, so it's a linked deposit program. So we have money, and this surprises people when I tell them we have money to invest. Our general revenue fund is short of cash. There's a big backlog of bills. But we have over 700 different state funds for specific purposes. And those funds have fund balances. Well, it's my job to invest that money while it's sitting there, try and make more money for the state. We think a good investment is investing in Illinois agriculture. So what we do is we link our deposits with loans. So if a farmer comes in, if their bank, if their lender participates in AgInvest, they can get a loan at a lower interest rate, and then we will put a deposit in the same amount into that bank, helping to capitalize our banks, helping to make sure our farmers have access to capital to put a crop in the field and take it out, or if they want to modernize their facility, or we've actually expanded this since I came in, if they want to use it for land acquisition, or if you've even expanded it to agricultural business loans.
More information on the program is available at illinoistreasurer.gov. In other state news, the Illinois Fire Service Institute continues to promote grain bin safety. Ag Rescue Program Manager Dave Newcomb has a few reminders for farmers.
If I have to get in the bin, first and foremost, don't go alone. Number two, make sure that all of the machinery is shut off and locked out so that somebody can't accidentally turn it back on. That saves lives no matter at the family farm, industrial, anywhere and everywhere, even in the fire service. We locked out and tagged out when we went in industrial settings. So it works everywhere, and it can be as simple as a zip tie. You could pull that lever down and put a plastic zip tie through that, and somebody says, gee, you know, and I put a tag on there that says, Dave's in the bin. Then if somebody's going to come along and say, well, why aren't we unloading corn and start flipping stuff back on? This one says, hey, wait a minute, he's in the bin.
Last year, there were 3 grain entrapments in Illinois, with 2 resulting in fatal injury. Finally, the U.S. Department of Agriculture's National Agricultural Statistics Service will conduct its biannual agricultural labor survey during the second half of April. The survey will collect information about hired farm labor from more than 1,300 Illinois farmers and ranchers. The USDA and the U.S. Department of Labor uses these statistics gathered in the Ag Labor Survey to establish minimum wage rates for agricultural workers, administer farm labor recruitment and placement service programs, and assist legislators in determining labor policies. In the survey, NASC has asked participants to answer a variety of questions about hired farm labor on their operations, including the total number of hired farm workers, the total hours worked, base wage rates, and total gross wages paid for the weeks of January 6th through the 12th and April 7th through the 13th. For their convenience, survey participants have the option to respond online. NASS will compile, analyze, and publish the survey results in the May 30th Farm Labor Report. All previous farm labor publications are available online at nass.usda.gov. For more information on NASS surveys and reports, you can call the NASS Heartland Regional Field Office at 800-551-1014. For this Thursday morning, March 28th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.